This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Perfectly Mentored. I'm your host, Jason Portnoy. A guy on this podcast, this episode, is someone that I'm super excited to have on. Someone that, you know, I've been very bullish on LinkedIn recently and been watching what this guy was doing to kind of mimic and try to grow my own personal brand. And I think everyone should give him a follow. He's a LinkedIn storyteller. He's amassed millions of views on LinkedIn. He's the CEO of Urban Misfit Ventures and just all around good person, great guy. Quentin Allens, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me on, man. Thank you for that awesome intro.
Cool. I don't think the intro gave enough about you. So why don't you tell everyone listening, you know, people who haven't been paying attention on LinkedIn, give a little bit of background on who you are and how you got started with all this.
Yeah. So like you said, I'm the CEO of Urban Misfit Ventures. We own IEEG, which essentially is a storytelling influencer marketing company. And then we also own MKE Misfits, and we're hosting events all over the world, getting professionals and students and just creatives together and having a conversation. So we're hosting those events all over the world. And then I also have one of the top LinkedIn video channels in the world, over 5 million views on there. And it's just been a lot of fun, dude.
I mean, like we spoke offline a little bit and we talked about how storytelling wasn't cool back then. What do you think changed?
Yeah. No, it's interesting, man. Like I've been writing since I can remember. Like I have journals from like second grade, and stories that I've written from like second grade. And I was always kind of that weird kid that was writing in the back. I was athletic, you know, and I had my friends, but I wasn't able to connect with people, and I was never ever able to connect over my writing or my stories. And it's weird now because now that's my life, right? Like we tell stories for a living. And there's been a shift with entrepreneurship in general. So I don't know. I guess social media, it gives you a different aspect of someone else's life and you get to see the insides. And I don't know, like we're all living, breathing stories. And with social media, like we wouldn't be able to connect with those stories. So I would say social, and we see guys like Gary Vee and Lewis Howes and all these people killing it with their stories and showing how they made it. So social.
What do you think makes you so unique? You know, I mean, everyone has a story, I guess. What makes you so unique that you think you've been able to gather those millions of views and that flock of following who just want to tune into every word you say?
Yeah, I would say one, luck. And I have no issue saying that, but that would be the first thing, right? Like LinkedIn, it's in this awesome place right now where we're seeing all these transformations, all these changes, and the evolution of this platform is happening in front of our eyes. So luck. But two, like I focused on not proving my expertise, not in anything like that. When I jumped on the platform, I knew that no one was going to listen to a 24-year-old kid talking about personal branding and building a business and social media and all these things. So I just focused on telling stories. And more specifically, I focused on telling my story. Like this is what I went through building my first company. This is how I failed. This is why I failed. This is what I learned. Here's this awesome person. And I told my story through everything that I was doing, whether it was a photo, whether it was somebody that I was meeting that day, whether it was an article or whether it was a video where I was talking about a single story, I told my other stories through that. And there was this overarching narrative. So I see a lot of people lock themselves in like, yo, I'm just a personal branding expert. That's my story. Or yo, I work for Northwestern Mutual. That's my story. And for me, I had this overarching narrative of, okay, I started here, broke as hell, and this is where I'm going. This is what I've done. And that's what I focused on. So again, I got lucky with the platform, but I also told that overarching narrative.
I love it. I mean, look, something I'm very bullish on is LinkedIn and watching it as someone who is a marketing professional, seeing how LinkedIn's become more and more popular. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to the listeners? I don't want this to just to be a marketing podcast, right? So part of it is just giving overall business advice. So I think, you know, people listening, whether they're an accountant, you know, a home automation installer, whatever it is, a plumber, how can they start using LinkedIn and start building traction before it becomes completely saturated?
Yeah, I recently wrote an article about how to monetize LinkedIn, and I included a bunch of tips, but more so than often, or more than, basically what I said at the end is that this is my blueprint. It's not the blueprint. And advice for anyone on LinkedIn, there's a lot of people that think they're LinkedIn experts. There's a lot of people that claim to be LinkedIn experts. And I would say, put your ear to the ground and figure out what works for you, because really anything can work. When I jumped on video, video was not pushed. People were like, okay, don't create videos. That's not effective. We're not on LinkedIn to watch videos, but video worked for me. And now video is popular, right? But I also write articles. I also write posts. I also write long format posts, and I post photos, and I do all these different things, but I found what worked for me. So I would say, number one, just put your ear to the ground and figure out what works for you. Figure out what people are doing and how you fit into that, and where you can bring different value, because there's not a lot of people creating consistently right now. And there is that huge opportunity to stand out. Number two, I would say use it as a backdoor. A lot of people, they correlate their success with the amount of views and likes and engagement that they're getting. And that stuff is cool, but it won't last. So it won't last if you don't build a community. So I would say use it as a backdoor and go meet people offline. I've used it to meet amazing entrepreneurs, CEOs, C-suites, business coaches, people that I would not have had access to otherwise. So use it as a backdoor and build that community offline.
I love it. And I'm so happy you're on, because as someone who runs a marketing agency and really kind of focuses on marketing day in, day out, I don't think our clients know the value of storytelling and just how important it is in all aspects of life, whether it's, branding yourself, building a brand, or even in sales. When did you first discover its power?
Yeah. So in college, I'm a huge techie. I guess we're all futurists, but like I'm an amateur futurist. I'm super into that stuff. And like, if you look at the future and even really the now, right? We have like artificial intelligence, we have virtual reality, mixed reality, all these different things that have the potential to replace a human being at any moment, skills wise. And I was looking at that and I'm like, okay, I can be replaced any moment. What can't they replace? And that's a story, right? That's a personal brand. That's who I am as a person. It doesn't matter how good I write. It doesn't matter how great I edit a video. It doesn't matter how great I am at talking. It's my story and who I am as a person, the brand that I build that is going to make me stand out. And I really, really dove into that when I was a senior in college. I studied like sociology, digital sociology, how we interact with one another and how technology plays a role in that. So that was around the time that I really started to think about that and the brand that I could build. And I wasn't really successful in it until the end of 2017 and beginning in 2018. So it took me a while.
How important is the ability to storytell? I mean, let's connect it to a job. Let's say you're a salesman or an accountant. How important is their ability to be good storytellers?
Yeah. So I read a book. I believe it's Talk Like TED by Carmen Gallo, I want to say. One of the best books I've ever read, and I read it back in college, but the main focus on that was, okay, every single TED Talk, every single captivating speech told a story, or they told stories within that. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a TED Talk. This can be in a meeting. This can be on TV. This can be in a video, in a vlog. If you're telling a story, you're going to connect to people, because that's how other people see. That's how other people view themselves in your story, and that's how they connect. And storytelling is innate, right? Like, we've been telling stories since the beginning of time, since cavemen were like drawing on caves, the stories of their lives and all these things. So that's how people connect. So it's important in whatever role you are to be able to tell those stories. And one thing that I always say is that you don't necessarily have to be a good storyteller to be a good storyteller. I know that sounds weird, but you can always tell someone else's story, right? It doesn't have to be yours. You don't have to be this amazing writer. You can talk about other people and what they've done, what they've been able to do. But it is important to touch on those things. That's how people connect.
So how did you hone your craft? I think storytelling, I believe it's a gift. I believe you have to have talent, but I think it's one of those things that you could definitely improve on and keep getting better and better at. Yeah. How do you hone your craft and get better? And I guess let's break this down even more and get tactical for mm-hmm. the listeners. What advice can you give them? What tips can you give them to become that a great storyteller or a better storyteller?
Yeah, I can take that in two parts. So starting off, I was always a writer, but I originally jumped on video because an entrepreneur friend interviewed me for my first startup, and it went so poorly that I'm like, okay, that can never happen again. I'm never going to be that embarrassed. So let's shoot a video every single day. And I did it for like 500 days, just talking about my life and what I was going through. So doing it every day definitely helped me. In terms of actionable tips, I would say one, something that has helped me like just take me from zero views, right, to 5 million. Something that helped me there is taking every single message that I have, every single video idea that I have, and writing it down. I would also add that when you do have that topic in mind, before you're about to shoot that video, tell yourself or tell your friend, what is it about, in under 15 seconds. I use Snapchat for that. I use Instagram for that. And if you can do that, then you know the base and you know exactly what you need to touch on to get your message across. And from there, you take that one story and then you can add on it, whether it's a 1 minute talk, whether it's a 30 minute conversation, whether it's a 18 minute TED talk, but you just build on that base from that 15 second. The shorter, the better. The shorter that you can get your message across, the better. Always, always. So I would say, do it more. And then two, say what your story is about in under 15 seconds. Another thing that could help you is actually writing it down. So maybe you're looking into video storytelling, maybe you're a videographer, a cinematographer. Actually writing stories is gonna help you communicate better because it's a different medium. And maybe like, any different medium, right? Maybe it's not writing. Maybe you're taking a photo and you're telling a story, but look into those different things and that's going to make you an overall better storyteller. I was never a videographer, but now I hang out with all these amazing creatives and I've got my team behind me and they've helped me become a better storyteller because I have that camera in my hands and I'm seeing things in a different light. So step outside of your comfort zone and tell a story in a different way. And that's going to make you a better storyteller in your medium that you do prefer.
I mean, you've reached a level where you've got that team and your videos are pretty polished. How important is it to be polished? And people who hold back because they think their iPhone's too raw or too blurry or whatever it is, and they focus on the wrong things. What advice would you give them to just get over that and start putting out content and get to that level?
No, absolutely. That's a good question. One, I would say I shot my first 500 plus videos on a phone, an iPhone 6S, which is terrible. Two, there's a reason why we all have our favorite old movies, right? Or old vintage movies, because visual quality is not that important. So long as there's a story and the audio is there, someone's going to watch it, right? As long as it's good enough. And if you look at the top influencers in the world, like if you take Will Smith for an example, like he is crushing it on Instagram and he's brand new to the platform. I don't know how many followers he has, but millions and millions and millions of followers, and he's brand new. And most of his videos are just shot from the phone. So it's not about the quality. It's never about the quality. It's about the quality of the story, how you're able to connect, and the brand that you build. And if you can do that, you'll be fine. Just jump. And I know everybody says that, but seriously, just jump. There's been a lot of people that are like, you're creating so much content on LinkedIn. And then they compare themselves to me, but they didn't see me when I was just starting, when I was just shooting a video and walking. And then I bought my first camera and I was going through all these changes and implementing all these new things. They didn't see that. They're just comparing their initial journey, their initial video, to my end product. And even though I'm still evolving, that's like comparing apples and oranges. So I would just say start, because you never know what can happen. It just takes the right person to view your content, to read your content, whatever that is, to propel you forward. So just create. It's not about the technology, it's about you.
I mean, I totally agree. I think it's funny how people view overnight success, right? They look at someone who's amassed a 1 million person following, and they sit there and say, well, I can never achieve it. Like, that guy's just got lucky or whatever. And they don't remember that person spent months and months at 1,000, 2,000, and just still grinding and grinding. They just look at the end result and compare their start of the journey to someone's, I'm not saying you're at your end of yours, but the middle of theirs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how much content should people be putting out there?
Whatever you can handle, man. Like I always say, push yourself. And if you can build a habit, like human beings, like, we form habits whether we want to or not. Like, you go to McDonald's once, that turns into once a month, that turns into once a week, which turns into once every night, and then you gain weight. Like, it's not a habit that you want to have, but you build it whether you want to or not. So if you're intentionally shooting a video every single day, I would say do that, because you're going to build a habit and it's going to become easier. But whatever you can handle, I always tell myself that some of me is better than none of me, because I have a tendency to want things to be perfect. So I just push it out because I know it can help somebody. So I would say, if you can, do it every single day. Every single day, because you're going to grow as a person. People might say, yo, this isn't bringing me value, or yo, this isn't helping me, I'm not going to watch this. But you're also going to reach people that do want to watch it, and people that you are bringing value, and you're going to learn more. So if you can, every single day. But everybody's lives look different. So if you can only do it 3 times a week, if you can only do it 1 time a week, that's fine. But whatever you can handle, and whatever is going to help you get to your goals at a reasonable pace that you can handle.
So when you're starting off, how then do you measure success, right? So there's the vanity metrics of, you know, I got 5 million views on this video. But when you're starting off, you know, it's easy to say, don't focus on those, on those things. But then when you're putting out content daily and you're getting the 3, the 10 views or whatever it is, or the low engagement, at some point you have to look at it and sit there and say, okay, well, maybe it's the content I'm putting out. So how long would you sit there and say, don't focus on those, just keep pumping out as much content as possible, and then start looking at those numbers?
Yeah, so with all of our clients, we operate in 3 phases. The first phase is brand awareness. The second phase is influence. We build influence. And the third phase, that's monetization. And that doesn't mean that you're not making money in those first 2 phases. But within each phase, we hyper-focus on what we're focused on, right? So that first month, I'm sorry, that first phase, which is anywhere from 30 days to, I would say, 90 days, you're just hyper-focused on building brand awareness. That's when the vanity metrics don't matter. You just need to be there, and you need to bring value. You need to make sure that you're on track to reach whatever your goal is. So I would say in that phase, just be there. So put your ear to the ground, like I said, and build relationships. One follower turns to 2, turns into 3, turns into 10, turns into 20, turns into 1,000. Don't focus on the numbers. Focus on the people that you're impacting and the engagement that you have. So saying not to look at vanity metrics is very, very hard and stupid, and everyone's going to do it. But if you can, focus on the people and the conversations that you have. After that, you're building influence, right? Okay, I've got 1,000 views. Okay, I've got this. Okay, I'm achieving my goal. This viral video helped me bring in a client. Just make sure that those vanity metrics are attached to your goals. And then after that, you got your process, you got your, everything's in line, your systems are in place, and then you're rolling. But vanity metrics need to actually achieve something. They need to be attached to that goal. But at first, just focus on, and even after, focus on the people and the engagement and helping people.
I think that's a great answer. And just going off that a little bit with the vanity metric, one of the things I've been really diving into from a psychological perspective recently is A, imposter syndrome, and B, congruency, right? So I've seen people who are slowly building an authority on LinkedIn, and they're not congruent with their story that they're doing is not congruent with who they are. So it's, You could have that successful person who pretends that they have a rags to rich story. Which, I mean, it's just how important, let's break it down into how important is congruency, and then how does someone get over that imposter syndrome where I want to put out the video, I think I have something to share, but am I really the expert? Should I really be saying this? What if I get called out? Maybe I don't know my stuff. So, and that then leads to, you know, a congruency factor or a lack of congruency when they try to front or be something they're not. So I guess it's maybe one question, but how would you break that down? How important is congruency? And then how do you get over imposter syndrome?
No, absolutely. Being aligned is very important. Very, very important. Online, offline, everywhere. You always have to be who you are. I've always branded myself as a misfit, and that's in every aspect. But my whole like Just Q thing, like, I really don't talk about this a lot in all honesty, but Just Q, like I literally like shut up out of bed one night and I'm like, damn, like Just Q, that's going to be my hashtag. But the meaning behind it is like, I'm just me. Like my name is Quentin, I go by Q, but I'm just me. And I'm just this kid that, yes, I'm good at storytelling, but if I can do this, if I can build this, if I can talk to these C-suites, if I can go and close $1 million deals, then anybody can. because there's nothing special about me. And that's always my messaging, right? The misfit thing. I don't fit in. I do what I want. This is how I am. Accept me. And I'm congruent across all platforms, across life. If you come to Milwaukee, you'll see me walking around with my hat because that's me. And there's no fake. I'm authentic. This is who I am and I'm aligned. And if you're not, it's not going to work because people are smart and people understand that. So you have to be who you are. You don't have to have this rags to riches story. You just have to be honest, because an honest story is so much more compelling than a bullshit story, because people relate to that. Not everybody went from negative $900 to traveling the world speaking. Not everyone was homeless and now they're living in a $1 million home. Not everyone went through that. Most people are going to relate to the average. And there's nothing wrong with that, because it's an honest story. It's just about how you deliver. But you have to be aligned. And in terms of the imposter syndrome, I tweeted a while ago, like, is this ever going to go away? And everybody said no. And I agree, because I think if it does go away, then that's a sign that you're not growing anymore. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, like, don't bullshit people. Don't talk about things that you don't know. Don't give expertise on things that you don't know, but share through your story and be honest, because you're going to help people. I'm not an expert storyteller. I'm a fantastic storyteller and I know how to be myself, and I'm telling people stories, and my team, they're freaking amazing, but I'm not an expert, and I'll tell you that. But I know how to work. And I know how to get out that story. And that's what I share. But I'm just super, super honest about it. But I don't think that imposter syndrome is going to go away. You just got to jump. And you got to learn from it and listen. And when you're wrong, you're wrong, and learn from it.
I've recently been trying to find a way to turn imposter syndrome into fuel, right? So
yes.
You know, for clients that I have, it you know, the fact that I don't walk around believing I know everything, or maybe I can't deliver them the results that I think I can, mm-hmm. I actually just use that to fuel and sit there and say, well, that just puts me in a place to be very empathetic with them and work that much harder to get them that result and to have those honest conversations with them.
Yes, seriously, dude, use it as fuel. And if you're honest, man, most of the time, like, people understand and people respect real. So I totally agree.
What if you're not interesting? Like, I mean, some people just live boring lives, right? Or they perceive their lives to be boring. You know, like, they went to work, they sat in their cubicle all day, and then they came home and they kissed their wife and kid and watched TV all day. How do they then start making their lives seem a bit more interesting, or putting out stuff out, or putting their story out there?
Yeah, I think there's no such thing as a boring story. No such thing. It's all about perspective and the viewers and the audience and who's watching, but how you deliver it. If you think that you aren't living an interesting story, then I think you should go live an interesting story. That's more of a reflection of what you want to be doing, in my opinion. But there was a story like The Office, right? It's a story about people in an office, a paper company in an office. That's not interesting by life standards, but that show is so popular and it's so amazing and it's so funny, but it's all about the delivery and perspective. So ask yourself, what do I want to achieve? What is my story and how do I want to tell it? Who am I talking to? And figure out a way, an interesting way to deliver that story. But there's no such thing as not interesting.
We live in an environment right now where people think interesting is entrepreneur life. And
yeah.
And just to expand on that even more, people think entrepreneur life is on a private yacht, on a private island, you know, or on a yacht, or with millions of cash around you and models. So I think people look at what other people are doing and then they compare their lives to that, which isn't real.
Yeah.
And then they start, you know, dwelling on their lack of an interesting life, which really it isn't. It's an average life that I really believe that most people can relate better to than the guy on the yacht.
Agreed. Most, even the guy in the yacht, like 90% of his life is probably average, and that's totally fine. It's just that comparison, man. That comparison will get you, dude. Especially with entrepreneurship, like, it's, we all know, like, it's not, it's overly romanticized, it's glorified, man. Like, there's days where I didn't eat back then. Like, I didn't have any food. My animals didn't eat. Like, I slept in my office. Like, it sucks. Like, it's awesome, but it sucks, and it's a lot of work.
I think people just can't. I think people who see what entrepreneurs go through and envy it, they don't understand that it's also a pretty lonely experience that most people can't relate to. So it's something I slowly started talking about a little bit more, that, you know, even my family and friends, you know, can't relate to it. And it's kind of like, you need to be in that circle of entrepreneurs to like just not want to go nuts, because the lonely road sometimes is pretty lonely, and you need other people there that understand it and are going through it with you, because friends and family who aren't entrepreneurs won't understand it. And it's a roller coaster. And when it's all on you, it's a very, very tough situation. So I actually think, as much as people want it, there are days where I sit there and say, wow, 9 to 5 looks so good.
Dude, hell yeah, man. Like, I don't relate to the 9 to 5 thing. I promise myself I've never gone back, but like, just like, not the stress. I totally agree, dude. Like, I didn't realize how lonely I was building my first two companies that failed until I had my team that I do now. And it just hit me, and I'm like, shit. Like, it's not that I'm not okay or that I wasn't happy, because I was. It was just like, damn, like, it was just me. And like, still, like, when you're at the top, when you're the boss, like, it's still all on you, and there's still that loneliness, even if you have a good team. So I totally relate to that. It's something that, even if we talk about it, which we should, but even if we talk about it, no one's going to get it until they're in it.
Yep. And what I meant more on the 9 to 5 is, I envy friends who come home and they clock out at 5 p.m. and really their work ends at 5 p.m. as opposed to, you know, the waking up at 2 a.m. and all of a sudden you're hit with an idea, and then you just can't go back to sleep because you got to play out that entire idea in your head and how it goes. And next thing you know, it's 4:30, and then you're wide awake and you have to act on that idea. You know, so I wish there was a way to turn it off at times.
Yeah, dude. Agreed. It's chaotic, man. It's madness.
How do you handle haters? So someone who's pretty public and pretty out there, I'm sure all the comments on your videos weren't always great, and people didn't always have such nice things to say about you, because some people are just upset at their own lives and feel the need to shit on other people. You know, so I think that holds a lot of people back from putting out their own content. What advice would you give the listeners to just, aside from just, hey man, just ignore it or get over it? What advice would you give to the listeners to start putting out content and not really get bothered by it?
There's been some nasty comments. Trolls, haters, they're there, man, in life. Online, real life, everywhere. Like, there was an article we were featured on front page, and some of the comments were like, just a bunch of kids playing CEO, just a bunch of kids that couldn't get real jobs, like stuff like that all the time. But I've seen like just straight attacks on people and on their appearance, on their lives, on what they said, like just unnecessary bullshit. And it's definitely out there, and it definitely hurts people, and it definitely like it needs to be like, I hate it, right? I hate it. In terms of advice though, for me, like, I was a musician, so like, I'm totally fine. Most of the time I'm totally fine. It doesn't really bug me. I just don't care. So ignore it for sure. But, have a buffer, I think, helps. And what I mean by buffer is like maybe 1 or 2 or 10 people that you can go to that it's like, okay, this hurts me. Can you help me out? Or okay, can you help me here? Or like, can we talk? Or maybe like, can you pounce on this troll, which I don't recommend, but whatever it is for you, like having that buffer, someone to help you when those trolls hit, just because a lot of us will internalize that stuff, and that's not healthy. Other than that, delete it, block it. You don't need to see it. I'm sure it starts a conversation. Sure. It gets you more views, but if it's going to hurt you and it's going to affect your health, just get rid of it, because it's your content and it's your videos. But don't let any of that keep you from creating, because regardless of what you create, there's always going to be those haters. And we all know that. We always hear that. So have that buffer, ignore it, block it, delete it, whatever works best for you.
I think that's great advice. And I think the only thing I would add to that is, one of our first podcasts that we did was with Jordan Syed. I'm not sure if you know who he is.
Yeah. Gary V's
trainer and someone I know extremely well and is just a great guy, and watching him grow his Instagram following was super impressive. But the one thing that I've always liked about what he did was, everything that he was insecure about, he actually put on a post.
Yes.
So he wrote, I'm bald, I'm short, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. Because at the end of the day, what a troll is going to say, hey, man, you're bald and short. Yeah, well, I just said I was.
Yep.
So he took away, he put out his insecurities right off the bat. And I think he told me when I first wanted to start doing video, and I told him I was nervous about putting out video, we were out for coffee, and he told me, put out a video where you just say you're scared as fuck to do this right now.
Just
turn the camera on you right now and say, this is your video. You're scared as fuck putting it out there. This, you don't understand how many takes this is taking me to put out. I'm shaking. You may not be able to see it, but I know that starting to put out my message is important. So I have to start somewhere. And
yes,
I actually did it. And the response I got from people I didn't know was incredible. Love your honesty. Love your sincerity. I feel the same way when I put out video. It's pretty incredible when you actually own your insecurities instead of fronting them.
Dude, I totally agree. That was my, exactly what you just described. That was my very first LinkedIn video. I agree 100%. Own it.
Great. Look, I mean, I appreciate you being on this so much. I mean, if people don't know who you are, the listeners don't know who you are, they just aren't spending enough time on LinkedIn, which is a problem to begin with. So they need to go on LinkedIn, and then I'm pretty sure you're going to pop up somewhere because you've been doing great, great things. And I'm just a fan of your ability to tell stories from a marketing perspective. I think it's great and a super awesome talent. And from someone who's also trying to build their brand, I look up to you and look at what you're doing, and I'm super impressed and trying to mimic what you're doing. And I hope that's flattery to you and not insulting.
No, for sure, man. I appreciate it. Like, seriously, it means the world. I appreciate the support, and keep crushing it with the podcast, man. Like, this is awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Quentin, for being here and for taking the time. I know you have a busy day, so I'll let you get back to it. And thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, bro.
Bye.